Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
It's Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley. All legally obtained.
I have 247 movies, all legally obtained.
All legally obtained.
Of course. I mean, how else are you going to do it?
Is there a way to illegally obtain movies? If there is, I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
So.
Yeah. All right. So.
I send a check directly to the movie studios when I get my movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I buy the movie in the store, but then I also want to give them extra money. So I'll send
I have the head of Disney on my Venmo. Like, that's how.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how I do stuff. So,
because he needs more money.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, when that black card payment comes due, you know, It's like, oh shit, I got that. I funded that whole Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I got to pay that off.
That's right. Put it all on my credit card. Imagine.
Yeah, we need to fund this movie. All right, here, use my credit card. Just go ahead and be able to get that movie done. This week, before we get into this week's episode, couple little tidbits that you guys might want to, keep in mind, Star Trek related. So all original 10 Star Trek movies, meaning TOS and TNG, are not on Paramount Plus now. They are all on HBO Max. Starting November 1st.
It just gets sillier and sillier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
I mean, I know that the movie rights are different than the television rights, but still.
Well, you know? it's so dumb. Like, there's no indication on how long HBO is going to have all 10 Star Trek movies. So the only ones that are available on Paramount Plus is the Kelvin universe. Now, in the article that I have linked in the show notes, it states that the Star Trek, the motion picture director's edition is on there. It's not. I was watching it yesterday. It's the original motion picture movie. No spruced up special effects, no extra scenes, nothing. So the article is incorrect.
Right.
And what sucks is that, remember that 4K remaster of the motion picture? That's not available on Paramount either. It's not on there anymore. So I don't know what the fuck is up
with
that
one. It's on HBO now.
No, it's not. It's just
it's just gone.
It's just gone.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that, and also all 8 Harry Potter movies are back on HBO Max.
Well, that one at least makes sense.
Yeah, because
Warner Brothers owns that.
Yeah. But Peacock's had it for a while.
Fucking weird.
So yeah, they said a lot of this stuff is because it was done sometime before the streaming services got this shit together.
Yeah.
So we're still going to deal with that. Also, this one I thought was really cool. So Pluto has a Star Trek channel, which is just all the Next Generation. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for a couple years now, kind of getting old. I don't even really watch that channel anymore because every time I turn it on, it's always the same fucking episode, The Most Toys. It's either The Most Toys or Crusher fucking a ghost. It's kind of annoying, but Pluto has decided that they're gonna spruce it up a little bit. So coming to Pluto TV is going to be DS9 and TOS. According to the way they have this situated, TOS is going to join the current Star Trek channel. So that means that TNG is going to kind of share space with the original series. But they will be adding another Star Trek channel, which will be Deep Space Nine. So, yeah. So it'll launch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I sometimes confuse that one with the Voyager theme.
So yeah. So the more Star Trek Channel will have Deep Space Nine, and the main Star Trek Channel will start to integrate the TOS episodes to it, which will be cool because they said they'll start rolling them out in November and December, but no indication on which is which. I imagine probably TOS on the main Star Trek channel first sometime this month, and then next month we'll probably see DS9. But still no word on if there's going to be a Voyager or Enterprise channel.
There should be,
yeah. So yeah. Also because Pluto is actually owned by CBS and Paramount.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually owned by them. That's why you'll actually see there's a channel on there called Showtime Selects, because Showtime is actually owned by CBS. You'll see some Showtime stuff. You'll see some Paramount Plus stuff on there as a showcase for, you know, people to, you know, move over and get the other one. Other show, just for people that are aware, this is kind of cool. Other CBS content that's moving over to Pluto: Cheers, Frasier, Criminal Minds, Mission Impossible, and Hawaii Five-0, all of which have actually shown up on comedy channels, you know, like 80s comedy. They've shown up on some of that. I don't think Frasier has actually shown up on there. I could be wrong. Criminal Minds usually is most of these shows, if they're shown, they're integrated on another channel. So these will actually be their own channels, which is cool.
Frasier was a show for me that I enjoyed, but I didn't know why. Like, 'cause I didn't relate to him at all. And he was kind of pretentious.
I think That was the thing, is like, to me, you know, I'm not that way either. I mean, I can be pretentious, but I think for the most part, it's because he was so pretentious, but also he was also a fool. So
yeah, he got what was coming to him when he was acting up.
Yeah. Him and Miles, they always thought they were so much better. And then
the dad was the shit.
That's the one everybody related to.
Yeah. And the dog.
Oh yeah. Of course the dog. I mean, that just goes without saying. All right. So that's some stuff I thought you guys might, you know, be interested in. So this week's episode, United.
Ooh, good episode.
Not to be confused with Unity from Unity.
This is episode 13 of the fourth season of Enterprise.
More than halfway through.
That's right. First aired on February 4th, 2005. I almost said 2022. This one is part 2 of 3 of the Romulan interference arc, which is actually really fun.
Yeah.
Like, this whole arc's been good. Archer tries to unify the Andorians, Tellarites, humans, and Vulcans in a plan to capture Marauder ship, threatening to destabilize the region. Same as last episode, basically.
Yeah. The one thing that whenever they say Marauder, I always kept thinking of like Captain Jack coming out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just like the Marauder. It's like, just let's start hearing this, the music for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
There you go. I couldn't remember what the game was.
I just recently watched all of those movies. And it was worth it. You know, I enjoyed it. So in the teaser, they did a recap, which is cool. If you want to hear the recap, just listen to last week's episode of this.
Previously on Star Trek Enterprise. Star Trek.
So Trip and Tucker are not having a good day at work. They're still stuck over in the drone ship. They're the only living things on this ship. And they're just trying to make things work. Anytime we're in the drone ship, we're kind of cutting from the drone ship to Romulus, because Romulus is where they're controlling it. So the dude in the center chair is jacked into the grid. And he just looks ridiculous.
I expected to see Tron pop out of nowhere, you know, like
right. So the drone ship comes across a Rigelian scout ship, and the Romulans, because Trip and Tucker don't have any control over the ship, the Romulans attack it, but they're also disguised as Enterprise, when they attack the Rigelians. So that's the teaser.
I thought that was a little weird, like when the Enterprise blew up the Rigelian ship, all of a sudden you heard like, it's been a long road as they've been flying away. I was kind of like, wow.
And we don't skip the intro.
Yeah. Enterprise,
okay. So Act 1 starts with the Captain's Log, of course. Captain Star Log supplemental. For now, the truce between the Andorians and Tellarites on Enterprise is holding, but Starfleet has informed me of a new diplomatic crisis. So I thought it was kind of poetic because they all have to come together so they don't fall apart, you know? which is we've seen this story play out like that many times, you know?
Right.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Shran, well, this isn't even funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. Shran checks on his girl. Let's big ups to Combs in this episode for giving a fucking Oscar worthy performance, because I was feeling some feels.
Dude,
he was in there and he did this cute thing that kind of remind me of something I told my wife one time when she was one of the pregnancies and she was really sick. But he was like, because she's like, I thought this was only, you know, he only hit my shoulder.
Yeah, I thought it was only a scratch.
Yeah, and then I guess the phaser was set to kill, and there's some kind of phaser infection or something going on.
Yeah.
And I guess Andorians are a little weaker to it than some others.
Well, you know, so, it's because she didn't have the chronometric particles.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. No tachyons in her system.
Yeah, exactly. She wasn't next to an EPS conduit, you know, that would have been able to reverse the effects.
So I thought it was kind of cute because he was saying, nah, the only reason you're here is because this doctor wants to keep you all to himself because he's got a crush on
he's
you
secretly
or whatever.
In love with you. And
like, I was like, that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff you're trying. He's trying to make her laugh. She did not. but he's trying the best he can. So then we were on Romulan. By the way, you see in the notes that I said where it switched to, because that's where I was like, wait, where are we? so now on Romulus, they're in a room, like the control room for the ship. Why is this room so small?
Well,
you
don't need
you that. Couldn't have built a bigger room?
Well, I mean, it was probably one of those where like, yeah, we need a building for this. Well, you know what? We only got this utility closet.
Yeah, for real.
Because, you know, we've got these other things going on over here, you know, like dealing with Reemans and, you know, instability in the Klingon Empire. Your thing is a little more, you just use this one.
Yeah. Some scientist told us that our star is going to explode in a couple hundred years, but we're ignoring him.
Right. You know, and it was one of those like 243D, like, you know, it's one of those supplemental rooms, you know, those little stinky rooms. You're like, oh, okay, we can just build up, I guess.
So this episode in particular, you do a lot of flipping like scenes, like we're here, we're there, we're here, we're there. So, you know, I'll try to help everyone keep up on Enterprise. So they're trying to get what they're trying to do is get all the fleets together. So the Vulcans, Tellarites, the Andorians, and the humans. They're trying to get all the ships together because they need, what was it, like 150 ships or something at least?
Yeah.
To do a sensor grid so this drone ship can't escape.
Basically the Klingon Civil War from TNG. That's what they're
the
trying to do.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
So they're having, you know, these people don't get along with anybody. The only people that any of these races get along with is the humans.
Right.
They
for
all
now.
Individually
for now, anyway.
Get along with the humans.
For now, anyway.
For now. And of course, Enterprise must be the command ship because they say it's because they all get along with humans, but it's just because Archer's big dick swinging at you. Come on.
He's just like, yeah, Archer. I mean, that's the thing. And what's funny is that, you know, T'Pol, when, you know, she mentions that nobody's ever tried to, you know, get these many ships together. And Archer's like, nobody's ever tried before. And he's like, and she gives him this look and he just gives, I like how he looks. He goes, you don't think we can make this. You don't think we can do this. T'Pol,
right,
in her oh so optimistic way, is just so much like, no, I really kind of don't.
She's like, these people have never worked together.
Yeah. And that's where the whole like, yeah, but, you know, humans weren't involved. So, you know, because, you know, We have sarcasm like the Tellarites, and we have arrogance like the Andorians.
We're everyone.
And we're up our own ass like the Vulcans, which would have been great to see, which would have been great to hear.
with a little extra long glare at it. We pop into the drone ship real quick to see that Tucker is in full MacGyver mode as he is trying to turn this thing into his own personal shuttle. So basically they're trying to take control of it, and they've noticed that this ship is not – it must be a prototype because it's a normal ship with a bridge, but it's like they retrofitted it. So he's like, well, that's great because then I can turn these systems back on and then we can, you know,
it's funny control how, it. It's funny how like Trip and Reed kind of work off each other in this one. Like, well, why would they do this? Well, maybe it's because it's like the other person always has answers for the other person, like with the questions. It's like, we got a double act going on here.
They're the dynamic duo, bro. You know?
But which one is Robin? But which one is Robin? That's
I don't know if I'm comfortable answering that question, to be honest.
Basically, who's the bottom? Who's the bottom? That's
ew. Back on Enterprise, everyone's getting along fine, and I'm being incredibly sarcastic. Everyone's screaming at each other, and the Andorians and the Tellarites. Wow.
Wow.
Are not.
Did you just suffer a stroke right there?
I guess so. Then we're back on the drone.
Well, with that whole thing, you know, it was because at this point, you know, I like that Tran is really kind of like into working with him. Like he's in this moment, this is actually kind of a cool moment because Tran actually kind of acknowledges that Archer is his friend.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, you know, you got this, you know, here's our thing. So what we're going to do. And then they have that little kind of, what was it? The little talking to when he looks at all the images, all ships named Enterprise. And he's like, you commanded all of these? And then find out that, nah. He's like, not really. And then explains into the Kumari as being the first ice cutter on Andoria. And just kind of really just says, like, we're going to make this work. Which plays later into what kind of happens later in the episode.
I feel the two races that are the most alike are the Andorians and the humans. The Andorians are basically what the humans would be if they were war torn.
Yeah.
If they were just constantly under the oppression of battle, that would kind of, cause I don't think humans would turn into Klingons like how they do it. I think they would turn more into Andorians where they're kind of paranoid and, you know, they're like, fuck you, you know, come over here and find out what's really good. You know,
the mirror universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Just not evil. You know,
are not as evil.
Right. So back on the drone, fucking Trip uses the term even money because they're discovering things about the ship. They're trying to figure things out. Keep in mind they do not speak Romulan. So they have no idea what the fuck anything is saying. Also Romulans have touch screens.
Did you notice the Windows 8.1 logo on the side of it? Yeah.
The tiles.
Yeah.
The Romulans just couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
You know?
They didn't like the smart start menu.
That's right. And then, of course, Trip goes into a maintenance corridor, and we keep pouncing back to Romulus, too, and they know they're doing. They know what they're doing. They can see it. And then they go seal them in the thing, and they seal them in the door, and he's like, uh-oh. And then the Romulan comes on the radio and he goes, you know, he turns the fucking coolant on and the radiation.
Oh, because that was because remember, Trip turned off the,
yeah, he turned off the warp core.
Yeah. He found what did Reed call it? You found the off switch.
Literally a fucking single cable hanging off the wall.
Well, that's like anything on your computer. You pull one cable, your system is down.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. And so the guy says, you have 7 minutes for that radiation kills you. You turn it back on or if you turn the warp core back on, we'll turn it off. So I put fucking clock's ticking hot shot. Then we roll into act two. On Enterprise, at least the humans and Andorians are getting along. They're the only ones getting along.
Right. Yeah. The only
Tellarites are not, they're not happy with either at this point. And I guess there really is no representative from the Vulcans, but the Vulcans aren't really involved.
Yeah, because they mention when T'Pol was talking to Archer, she mentioned the fact that T'Pau is sending only like 23 ships from Vulcan, because it's a great time for her to do house cleaning. Like, how is she supposed to know? Like, come on, dude.
She don't know what the fuck you're doing out here. But now Vulcan's pretty much locked. They'll do whatever. If the humans ask them for help, they'll come help. We got them under our thumb. No, I'm just kidding.
We gave them religious freedom.
That's right. Back on the drone, the guy tells Trip, follow my instructions. I'm like, he don't even follow the instructions of his own captain.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so good luck with that.
You'd have been funny if Trip goes, oh, yeah? Ask my captain about that one chick that killed herself.
Jesus Christ. This is more of a quick scene just to say, hey, remember this? So, you know, we cut back to Enterprise. Talis dies. Shran's girlfriend, just overcome by her injury. Didn't have to go out like that, bro. This sucks. Yeah. Shran again, Oscar-worthy performance when he comes in and he's upset. And he wants to check the doctor. He's just upset. You know,
yeah.
And but now we have a problem because Shran was leaning to his okay. He's like, okay, we'll work together with the Tellarites. Let's get this done. Now he ain't about it now.
Yeah.
Now he's upset again.
Now he wants to kill the guy that killed her.
Right. And you can tell that Archer's like, fuck, like this throws a wrench in the whole thing. So and then again, quickly we're on the drone and but I just mentioned one thing because the same thing's going on the drone. Trip is basically working against the clock. And Reed goes, what's your status? And I'm like, currently dying, asshole. Like, got it.
But at this point it's Reed's just kind of like Reed's trying to work to save Trip's life, but Trip is like, no, don't do that. You know, I don't want you saving me. I want, you know, just.
Yeah, but these two idiots are always trying to sacrifice themselves when it's not necessary.
But see, the thing with Trip is that Trip should know, particularly because of Shuttle Pod 1, Malcolm's the one that wants to die. That's okay with dying. That's
glory for him.
Yeah.
So, back on Enterprise, I told you, we do a lot of bouncing around here. Where'd I go? Oh, I'm lost in Act 3. Hold on. Enterprise. So again, Combs is fucking amazing in this episode. He really makes this episode. Like, this episode was great. So Combs comes in. Archer's talking to the Tellarites in a conference room. And then Shran comes in and Mako stops him. He goes, I just want to talk.
I like that he comes in and he's got the two guards. He's like, I just want to talk. I just want to talk.
So Archer lets him in, and then, you know, Archer's like kind of circling the table with him. It's kind of like,
dude, oh, what are we doing? On dude? Him, dude. Like, yeah. Every time he got close to the Tellarite, he's like right there. Like,
so then, out of nowhere, Shran pulls out a bottle and says that it's Talis's blood and that he needs to bring it back to Andoria. And he pours some of the blood on the Tellarite's hand and basically challenges him to death by combat. Well,
the one thing that I thought was actually really cool in this moment is Shran goes into this whole life of Talis.
Yeah, you know, her that, little history.
That and stuff. She came from a prominent family. She could have done anything she wanted, but she felt the call to service. And that she could have been with anybody, but she needed that Shran dick. You know,
that's right.
It's and who could blame her? I mean, let's be honest. Who could blame her?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, it's Shran.
It was cool though, because and then multiple times, just to drive the point, he kept saying, "I just thought you should know."
Yeah,
like you could tell that it was such a subtle but powerful scene. It was really good.
Yeah. Then he pours the blood on her hand and then challenges him.
Yeah, he says it's an Andorian custom. Well, he screams it. I'm just saying it. And then Act 3 happens. So,
oh, but he does say that if Archer doesn't, because he says not on my ship, because, well, if you don't do this, then this then this team up is not happening.
It's done. Yeah, we've absolved our partnership.
Yeah.
And we all know
like a business relationship. We've this right. this association has been absolved.
We will declare this treaty in abeyance, as Picard said to the all those fucking weird gooey people. I forget. The Shellyak.
Oh, the Shellyak, yeah.
It's treaty in advance. So back on the drone ship. This Romulan dude's a dick. Like he's the only way to survive is to listen to me. So Trip is always getting beat up by some. This dude's passing out. Radiation's getting to him. Malcolm though, bro? Slick as shit.
Yeah, he gets the junction fixed. He's like, you got it. Open the hatch. So he opens the hatch, and then Reed goes in there with the helmets, and then fucking dickhead decides to go ahead and is like,
he says, we don't need the humans anymore.
Which I'm like, well, really? Like,
that's a Romulan move, yeah, though. Come on.
So seals them in there, and then they said that they're just basically to seal them in there, and they'll deal with them once they get back to Romulus. And fucking Reed. He's like already like unscrewing the hatch, and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, have you ever read, you know, he basically acknowledges that, hey, you know, we've got eavesdroppers in here, so I don't necessarily want to kind of like,
yeah.
It is like, you ever read the manual to that thing, looking at his phaser?
Yeah, and he was showing him that he doesn't have his, and he's talking about overloads and shit. So Trip's understanding what's going on. See, right here, we're seeing that Malcolm is an expert tactician. Okay, he already knew the dude was going to lock the door behind him. So he had already looked at the damn schematics and knew how to get out of the room to get away from the bridge that was about to explode.
Something Tasha Yar would never have done. And to be honest, gangs, bro. And yeah, the
rape gangs. It's a fucking rape gang.
Also, I got to say, Worf wouldn't have thought of it either.
No, and I'm telling you right now, if I had to pick best security chief, it's got to be Reed, bro. He doesn't get enough credit.
Nope.
Saying.
Nope.
So he blows the bridge up. And then I was like, fix that, bitch. Because dude kept saying, the automatic repair systems will brr, 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 brr. He's a fucking asshole.
I know.
Back on Enterprise. So now we have Hoshi's fine ass come in. I mean, Hoshi come in to explain what's going on with Shran. So it's called the Ushan. So he wants the Ushan with the Ushantor, which is like their batleth. It's like a hand weapon.
It looked like I mean, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever worked in a pizza place, but they're in when you're
it cutting, looks like the big slicer, the one that you rotate over the pizza.
No. It's actually looked like if anybody's ever worked in a pizza place and handled dough, that's what you use to cut the dough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Except so with a bot of razor sharp edges to it.
So she explained she was explaining some backstory that the weapon resembles an ice cutter. You have to Andoria is cold. So everything it revolves around ice for them.
And they played with it as children.
They played with it as children too. These motherfuckers ain't fucking around, bro. Okay. So Archer goes to see Shran. And this ominous motherfucker's in the dark sharpening his Ushantor.
With the light reflecting ever so gently off the
for real, the Ushantor. Bro, I was like, what the fuck? And then Archer found out a loophole that even I didn't fully understand why this was a good idea, where he could take the place of the Tellarite, and then Shran would have to fight him. And then Shran says, I put this quote in here. He says, I'm going to have to kill you. You're my friend. I felt that shit.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I got to do it. You're my friend, but we got to do it.
Yeah. So back on the drone ship. I wrote this quote down too.
That was a good line.
Yeah. Reed goes, you're good at building things. I'm good at blowing them up. Fuck yeah, bro. Reed's a superhero in this fucking episode, dude.
You're good at building things. I'm good at blowing them up.
That's literally the only note I have, because they're just running down a corridor.
He would have pulled what the guy from the Orville said. Boom, bitch. but with a British accent, which would sound cooler.
For real. So we get back to Enterprise. This episode had me tripping, bro. I was kind of talking to the TV a little bit. So Archer's about to risk it all. Okay. He's talking to Paul now. And she's kind of saying, like, why is this a good idea? And he does this thing where he's like, I get it. I get it. And he's smiling the whole time. And he's just saying how every course of action is trash. He goes, but the only one that will work for everyone is if he dies. And he kind of does a shrug, like, eh. to Paul look like she over it, bro. She's like, what the fuck? But as Archer always is, he's got something up his sleeves. We'll see that a little bit later. So Hoshi and Mayweather are teaming up now to read a legal document.
Yeah, they teamed up to go ahead and read the iTunes the iTunes terms of service. Is
what you know what? If this show would have continued, I wouldn't mind a little romance between these two.
Hmm.
To be honest, I think it would have been cool.
Yeah, but
because they're both kind of the same rank.
Yeah, and I see Hoshi as the dominant one.
She can be the dominant one over here.
But I mean, when we get to that episode, you
Jesus
know.
Christ. Okay, so now we're fucking fuck that legal document shit. What was important? They're trying to find a loophole, but whatever. They don't tell us the loophole during that scene. So now, one thing that bothered me about that scene is the camera kept circling them. And I'm like, I know you're trying to make it tense, but you're just making me dizzy. Like, it just was kind of dumb. It's like, stop it. They're not moving. Yeah, like, just film the table.
Yeah, it wasn't quite necessary for the little extra camera work. It was just somebody trying a little hard.
Trying a little too hard to make that check, bro. So these dudes are in a storage bay or whatever. And they put these gauntlets on, shiny silver gauntlets, and they're tied together. So they now are attached.
I didn't realize that at first until later. Why are they? I'm like, oh, they're tied together. Oh, okay.
And they both have that Ushantor knife. And some G shit, right? First of all, Shran was like,
I'll take your blood back to Andoria.
Yeah, he said, I'll take your blood back to Andoria for the Hall of Heroes. And then Archer's like, I got a ship to run.
Yeah, let's hurry up.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
let's hurry up. I got a ship to run.
So this fight's pretty dope.
This was so much like typical like American bravado, talking shit to the end. But it was cool.
I like seeing that. It's just not all the time. You know what I mean? So they're circling each other. They're flipping. You know, it's Star Trek. So everybody's got to flip each other shit.
I kept wanting to hear.
Dude, I thought that too.
Either
Spock and Kirk.
Either that or, you know, da, 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 da.
Stupid.
I would expect, like, out of nowhere, he's like, you know, roundhouse kick fucking.
So during the fight, I put a comment and said, with friends like these, am I right? But they're steady shit talking throughout this whole thing. Oh, and then Shran dies. It's cut. And I'm like, oh shit. Now we're in Act 4.
He manages to get Shran caught up in that. In that link that has them together, and he's pulling it back, and then he raises the thing, and then brings it down, and then all of a sudden it's dut, dut, dut,
right,
dut, dut, dut.
And then Act 4, obviously he's not dead. Yeah. Okay, now we're in sickbay. So he finds out that there was a loophole where if you render your opponent unable to fight, it's done. It's a forfeit. It's not, and you don't upset anybody. So what he did is he cut off, much to Shran's chagrin, cut off one of his antenna. And for those who don't know, Andorians use their antenna as balance. It's like our inner ear fluid. So cutting off one makes him stumble. One of the coolest things about this, by the way, is that he is having a hard time walking, but they never make it a thing. You just see him in the background.
Yeah, you just see him
kind of holding things.
Yeah, and it's funny because he tells Archer that he really wish he would have just decapitated him.
Yeah. Well, because I think to them, their antennas, like, they take pride in them and shit like that. So he's got one bandage. Not the whole antenna's gone, like half of it. And I guess it grows back, but it's going to take like 9 months or something like that.
Yeah. It'll take 9 months to grow back untreated.
Right. And they said it with some treatment and some cranial massages or some stupid shit.
You know, with the special blue pill, see what I did there? It'll it'll come back a little quicker. He pulls out a packet of like those like organic like erection pills you get like at the gas station or something like that. These will help.
So now we're back on the drone ship quickly, just to see that they, the powers that be in Romulus, have now made it look like a Vulcan ship. So Enterprise, back on Enterprise, immediately, T'Pol's like, the power signature doesn't match. And I'm like, if it's this easy, why even bother at this point? You know what I mean? They literally got the – they found out it wasn't a Vulcan ship in about half a second. Bro.
Well, because they looked at the ship and then that – and like they did their like – they did this stuff where it's like, oh, it's a Vulcan ship, blah, blah, blah. It's like, check the warp registry. And then it's like, boom, okay, it's not a Vulcan ship. And
yeah, that prototype, there's something they need to fix on that. You know,
but that's only if you're looking for it. Like they knew to look for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because in the beginning they didn't.
So now they're starting to fight the drone ship while trying not to destroy it because Trip and Tucker are on it. But they can't get a lock on them, of course. It's typical Star Trek stuff. Oh, yeah. It's very tense, you know. And the drone ship is moving quick as fuck, bro. They can't even hit the damn thing because it keeps doing fucking barrel rolls like it's playing Star Fox 64 on this motherfucker.
Do a barrel roll.
Every time it rolls, like, do a barrel roll. And I was sitting there watching it, and I was going, ding.
I still have that game, Star Fox 64.
Yo, those games are shit, dude. Yabba-doo dabbit.
What was that little annoying frog one? A little, was it the frog one or was it the?
I think it was the rabbit.
Yeah,
the high pitched joint.
Yeah,
fuck out of here with that. Sound like a little kid. It weirded me out when I don't think it was 64. I think it was for GameCube, and they actually spoke English. And I had to pause it. Like I was like, what the fuck? And it was like, Star Fox, we're coming in. And Star Fox is like, all right, team. And I'm like, what's happening?
No, that was 64 when they started. I know.
Was it 64?
64 they talked, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was when do a barrel roll and all that shit, yeah.
Do you know on the Switch, one of the Super Nintendo games they put on their like Super Nintendo lineup was Star Fox 2, which never came out for the United States.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Star Fox. But it looked I think there is some different stuff, but I haven't fucked with it yet. Anyway, this isn't a Star Fox podcast, but listen up, we might be having I'm just kidding.
You listen to our Patreon, you'll hear Star Fox episode, our Star Fox series.
So a lot of stuff had Trip
with all the jokes we make about Patreon. I wonder if there's anybody actually looking. I know, fuck, I thought they said they had one.
A lot of stuff is happening, so they're fighting the drone, but they're trying to take the emitters out. Trip and Reed are also running through this motherfucker as it's getting attacked, trying to get to a spot where the transporters can pick them up.
Yeah, they're trying to get closer to the bulkhead.
Right. So what they decide to do in typical Trip and Reed fashion is they open the hatch bay door and jump out that bitch into outer space. And of course, as soon as they do this, the sensors go down on Enterprise. So they're like, I don't know where they are. T'Pol's like, I've lost them. So now the drone ship takes off. Oh, a fleet came in. Yeah. I forgot to mention that. A fleet of all the races involved have shown up. And then they go running after the drone ship. And then you just see poor Trip and Reed floating in space going, oh, they did leave us. And then this awesome fucking shot. And I don't know if it's a shot because it's CGI. I don't know if you would call it a shot.
No, it's still a shot, even though it's
CGI. Okay, so you hear Archer on the comms go, I heard someone needed a lift, and the Enterprise just comes because you were zoomed in to the two people and they looked small.
Because before they jumped out, I think it was Trip that said that this is going to be the worst way to go. And then Reed was kind of like, I don't understand. Until they left and then they're floating in space, he's like, okay, I see what you mean, that this is going to be the way they're going to die.
So yeah, so the camera zoomed into them, but slightly looking up, and then the Enterprise just comes over slowly, and I was like, damn, this is like a movie, bro. This is so cool.
And then Archer's like, I heard some bitches need to be picked up.
he had that tone like he talking shit.
He totally did. He totally, when he said, the way he's like, I heard some people need it. I think some people need it. I was like, some bitches out here need to get picked up like fucking kids.
If I was out in space, like, this motherfucker. So now we're looking at Trip and Reed, and they're taking off that damn suit, and Reed's complaining because he's like, oh, whoever designed this fucking suit, bro, like, I'm going to get him. And then Trip goes, you know, you saved my life, but I'm gonna have to put you on report. And Reed's like, what? And he goes, you disobeyed a direct order. He's like, by saving your life? He's like, I'm sorry. And he goes, you know how long it's going to take me? Blah, blah. And then Tripp starts laughing. And he goes, you're just such an easy target. And fucking they throw a fucking glove at him and shit. They're just goofing off. And I thought that shit was funny.
I would expect Reed to like suddenly become more Americanizing, like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, fuck you.
Pulls out his pistol, starts beating the shit out of Trip. I was gonna say Trump.
And then it shows a shot of all the ships from all the different races are there. It almost looks like they're starting something important, but you know, who knows.
It was funny because when I saw all the ships, it was like I kept thinking, like, and they search for a planet known as Earth. So you hear the Battlestar Galactica theme because they go and drift it up.
And then to add a little seasoning to this episode, it cuts to Romulus and they finally take the helmet off of fucking Daft Punk in the center. And it's a fucking Andorian and he looks all fucked up.
Yeah, and he's white.
Yeah, he's one of the albino Andorians.
Yeah.
It must have something to do with their sensory perception to run the fucking thing or whatever. I'm sure it does, but he looks fucked up. Like, he looked like he was tired. I was like, damn, give him a fucking coffee.
I mean, when you're sitting there with a Daft Punk helmet and, you know, power gloves all day, you know, you're going to
need... Nintendo power gloves.
Two Nintendo power gloves. That requires a lot.
That's almost too much power. So production notes for this one. This episode established the first cooperative endeavor between humans, Vulcans, Andorians, and Tellarites, the four species that eventually formed the United Federation of Planets in 2161. It also suggests for the first time why Earth, a relative newcomer to the galactic stage, became the de facto capital of the Federation. Humanity was the only species on relatively friendly terms with the other three. Yeah, they were humans were the in-between. Mm-hmm. And I really liked how they did that in this episode because they kind of explained it in a way where it's like humans weren't better than them. They were just the newcomers, so no one was upset with them. So they could be the neutral ground.
But you also look at the way the season was set up is that, you know, they already had Shran's respect because of Pym, you know, or is it Pajem? Yeah.
Pajem.
Because of Pajem, because they exposed that. They got the respect of the Vulcans because they, you know, stopped their civil war, and Andoria respect them because they prevented the war from happening between the Vulcans and them, and then helping the Tellarites, it left them all like going, okay, they're not just in their own interest, they're in ours too, so
right, so
we'll give them some slack.
Humanity was that olive branch for all of them to talk to each other.
Yeah,
you know, and I thought I really liked how they put that together, and it wasn't just humans were better, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Although you could see sometimes Archer kind of pull his, you know, he pulls on his pants up and you see him go, you know, that kind of move that you do when you're
humans
like,
out here, motherfucker. Well, there's that one scene.
Who the fuck would you guys be doing without us?
There was that one scene when they were all talking, all three of them. And he said, you know, I've been trying to be more arrogant to appease the Tellarites.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying to be more whatever he said to appease the Andorians.
He goes, arrogant. He goes like trying to appease your arrogance.
And right. And then he goes, why don't you two try being a little bit more human this time? And I was like, damn right.
Then out of nowhere, they both pulled out gats and start shooting at each other. Okay, well, they took that a little too literal.
In the original script, Senator Vrax's spy in the Romulan command center was Najil. And the episode ended with Vrax and Valdor plotting against Captain Archer. That would have been unnecessary. When Valdor made a reference to the Romulan drone ship, he called it the Raptor. Although this name is not to any of the filmed episodes in which the ship appears. Okay.
They said that they gave the ship a name, but they never used it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This episode was the third to be written by Judith Ann Garfield Reeve Stevens.
That's these guys are the shit.
Yeah, they write all the good ones. Having previously written The Forge and Observer Effect, although this time they shared their writer credit with Manny Cotto on the scene too. His stuff's hit or miss. Some of them are good, some of them aren't.
Yeah, I mean, if
but he writes most of them too.
Yeah,
so,
but I think a lot of his stuff that sticks is when he sticks to canon stuff, like expanding the canon, like this. He's talking about the formation of the Federation here.
Yeah, the bottle episodes he doesn't do very well, like the silly ones. Following their appearance in Star Trek Nemesis, United featured the second appearance of the Remans in Star Trek. This episode was the first to air following the announcement by UPN that Star Trek Enterprise was due to be canceled after the fourth season. I didn't mean to read those all together. I didn't notice it. The bullet point was there. yeah, I didn't remember seeing a Reman.
Yeah, remember when that dude's boss came in and he said, bring the ship. And then
he
when
was rolling with a Reman.
Yeah, and then he stepped out and the Remans were standing on the other side. Because like,
they're like the security.
Yeah. I was like, fuck. You expect to hear, I'm sorry.
T'Pol calls Travis Mayweather Travis instead of Ensign Mayweather for the first time. Maybe a pee-pee touch is coming.
Yeah, you know, maybe they did a massage.
A little massage session. United was the first episode to feature the appearances of the founding members of the Federation, humans, Vulcans, and Dorians, and Tellarites, together since the Star Trek The Original Series episode Journey to Babel and Whom Gods Destroy.
That episode, the Whom Gods Destroy was just on TV the other day.
Bro, the name of the TOS episodes are so fucking poetic, dude. Yeah. Whom Gods Destroy.
Yeah, because I saw that the other day because there's a local channel here called Icons and Heroes, and they run a four-hour block every night, Sunday through Friday, of Star Trek episodes, TOS, TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was looking for something to watch on TV, so I went on there, and they were showing that. And it happened to be the scene where Kirk is standing there in front of I can't remember the guy's name in that scene, but behind him was a Tellarite and an Andorian. And I was like, and Spock was in there, so I was like, oh yeah. And the one chick goes, go ahead, do your performance. And she's like, I compare thee to a summer's day. And she goes into this, and he stops. He goes, wait. He goes, you wrote that? And she's like, I did. He goes, that was written by an Earth writer many years ago. She's like, yeah, but it doesn't mean I can't rewrite it myself. Stupid.
The Tellarite cruiser is actually a reuse of the Akonian military vessel from season 2, which in turn was used in season 3 as Zindi, a boreal starship. They all got by their ships at Walmart, bro.
They're all reuses of everything else.
For real.
Enterprise is a reuse of the Vulcan D7.
That's the only ship that's not reused. It's the Enterprise. And actually, that's not true either, because if you have the Columbia or whatever, it looks exactly like the fucking Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
The sensor grid which Archer devises is reminiscent of the tachyon detection grid used by Captain Picard and a fleet of Starfleet ships in the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Redemption 2, which was a fucking awesome episode.
That was an awesome episode.
In that episode, like Captain Archer in United, Picard used the grid to locate Romulan vessels. That was like almost like a submarine episode, wasn't it? Because he was looking for I'm thinking about the Strange New World episode, which was fucking awesome.
That was
too.
A great episode. Yeah, no, that was the one. Yeah, in Strange New Worlds, that was the one with the
but Strange New Worlds was a remake, a sort of remake of a TOS episode. I have a headache.
I give up.
I want to watch that episode again, actually, now I think about it. A shot of the drone ship disguised as Enterprise would later be used again in the opening credits of In a Mirror Darkly. Yes, sir. After Reed realizes that Tucker is only joking about placing him on report, Tucker laughs while remarking that Reed is just such an easy target. This is reminiscent of a scene in Shadows of Pajem where Archer remarks the same to Tucker. I mean, it's a common thing to tell your friend.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to have to write you up.
This is the last of 62 episodes, including 15 from Enterprise, to be directed by David Livingston.
Yeah, that dude
probably left because they were cutting the show.
Yeah, probably because they probably had all the other directors for the rest of the season.
Yeah. This episode was nominated for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup for a Series, Miniseries, Movie, or a special. Damn right.
That's right.
Should have nominated fucking Combs, bro. I'm not even going to lie.
Dude, yeah. When he, in his big scenes, he really did well. That the scene where he was, yeah, like you said, where he was talking to his girl and he's over there just being so soft and gentle. He's like, I think he's secretly in love with you, you know?
Yeah.
And then that scene with Archer in the, in his quarters where he gives him the codes and he talks about being, you know, the future of the Federation. And then when he takes the blood and he gives that whole eloquent soliloquy, if you will, to about her, there was a lot. And even in that scene after the battle where he's, you know, complaining about him cutting his antennae and just like, you really wish you cut my head off.
Sure. Combs has a way with his characters of making them three-dimensional people.
Yeah.
Like, even though they're aliens, you could see that person existing.
Well, what's really great about that, and one of the things that really turned me to him, is if you watch the whole Dominion arc of DS9 and him as the Vorta, they had different versions of Vorta. And when you saw somebody else playing a Vorta, you almost got upset, because when Jeffrey Combs' Vorta would appear on screen, it was one of those, and it, like many of Star Trek's villains, you liked a lot of their villains, like Gul Dukat and, you know, and mm-hmm. Gowron and all of their villains where they become cool to write for. And even with Jeffrey Combs as the Vorta, it was always in DS9 when you saw him in as the Vorta, you're like, oh, I like this guy. Even though he was the baddie, you still liked him. And then in the final episode when they kill him and the founder goes, I wish she wouldn't have done that. He was the last one.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. Like I've always liked his shit. Whenever he's in Star Trek, I think my favorite character that he does.
Yeah, this one here, it's good. He really gets to flesh him out, and I love the rapport that him and Archer build.
Yeah.
During this, so.
And also, it does kind of seem like Shran is the leader of the Andorians at this point, though, because anything he says pretty much is what happens.
Yeah, well, he goes, I'm your chief advocate amongst the Andorian.
Yeah, but I think he's got some weight. Like, he's a general, isn't he?
When you're big dick swinging, like, you know.
I mean, you know, it's just Shran. I know. Shran walks in and like, oh, shit, we got to listen to what this cat says.
Yeah, exactly. So when Shran goes, I think the pink skins, you're like, oh, here we go.
Here we go with this fucking pink skin.
So
you hear someone yelling, ain't some of them not pink, though? I'm just saying, bro, you're being insensitive.
Why they always got to be pink, huh?
You being an asshole, bro.
Insensitive motherfucker.
None of these other hero worshiping motherfuckers gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you. You being an asshole.
You hear somebody in the back. You racist piece of shit. I think that was Mayweather back there.
Yeah, for real.
So the next episode is called The Enar. And Archer visits Shran's icy home world to find an Andorian subspecies called the Enar to determine their connection to the Marauder destroying ships in the region. Part 3 of 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then after this bit, the conclusion of this one, the next episode is... I hate that it's all the way down here. Affliction. And then that's where we go into the Klingon story.
Yeah.
As to explain why certain Klingons in TOS didn't look like other Klingons.
It wasn't just budget. Okay.
Well, I mean, yes and no.
It wasn't the budget. It's a reason. That was a good arc too. I remember actually watching that arc.
Yeah, because they kidnap Phlox. And because they go back for Columbia's, I think it's Columbia's maiden voyage. It was funny too. It's like, what about Columbia? Oh, Columbia's having problems with that. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Trip always got to work.
Yeah. It's like that's what happens when they didn't have Trip as their engineer.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Plus didn't make stupid decisions. But, you know, that's that's aside from it.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share the show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Just let it happen. Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.